Welcome, everybody, to your hour, the European American Hour, here on the Countercurrents Network. I've been looking over some things that I wanted to talk about, and one of those is one of the things that I'm really interested in is the whole idea of what our narrative is as European peoples around the world. A title I'd come up with earlier is Our Story, the Kosha Story, K-O-S-H-A-H, Kosha Story, and the Official Story. And, of course, as we know, the Kosha Story and the Official Story is the same, because who controls the means of communication? So I've been interested in a long time about how do we reach people? And if we don't even have our own narrative, then how are we going to participate in the PC world, the politically correct world, the kosher world, the Manhattan Borough Networks world, which is the world that is circling around in people's brains? They're psyops. They are the official stories. They are the party line. They are the religious line. They are the Talmudic line. I remember I read one time, the TV stands for Talmud Vision, and I've never forgotten that. Most people don't know anything about the Talmud. And by the way, while I'm at it, I had bought a book from Michael Hoffman, who lives in the area, in 2009, and it's called Judaism Discovered. And Michael does an incredible job of giving you information, giving us all information about the Talmud and how the Talmud has influenced history, and how many Jewish people in authority, people of power, people of kosher kin privileged people who are on the networks, they have a certain line. And one of the ways that I've tried to educate myself, because we don't educate ourselves unless we tune in to Countercurrents Network, unless we go to, at least to what I do every day, I go to Rents.com. I go to the Drudge Report. I go to the Drudge Report not because I believe everything on the Drudge Report, but I like to see what the neocon narrative is. That's very important. I feel that all of us need to know what is going on around us and not segregating ourselves in terms of, oh, I'm not going to go there, or I'm not going to listen, or I'm not going to read any of our opposition because I don't agree with it. Well, my opinion is, I know for myself, I want to know what their narrative is, because as the White Rabbit says, when they talk about racism, they're talking about that they are anti-white. That's what they're saying. As the website Resisting Defamation, if you go to that website, resistingdefamation.org, you'll see in there they talk about the anti-white narrative. It is very important that we talk about these issues of defamation every day, about how they defame us. The blonde woman narrative, the so-called blonde bimbo that these Talmudic supremacists label our people with. There is a thing called racial profiling. The people who are racially profiled in this country and have no group power are European peoples that live in this country, who I like to refer to as United States Yuri. The people who are referred to in a defamed way as Goy, gringo, honky, white boy, shiksa. We are the people that are racially defamed. It is non-stop. These TV dramas that demean us. These Archie Bunkers. These other films, Married with Children, and then all of the latest the TV programs, which those of you who are younger, you know about. Do you know of any of these people that you see on the screen in these dramas, these comedies? No, they're a bunch of buffoons. They are clowns. We are the goyim to them, to these Talmudic producers, whether they're Jewish or not. It is kosher plus. It is a way 24/7 to knock us down, to denigrate us, to take away our identity. I was just watching a program on TV called The Bait Car. Well, and every one of the people who were picked up in this bait car sting, either in the Los Angeles County area or the New Orleans area, are either black or brown. I used to tell people that I knew, and some people that I just started knowing, I said, and of course I changed my accent to be hip, slick, and cool. I said, you know, man, I would have stayed in California, but it was just too brown, man. It was just too brown. Now, those of you who've lived in Southern California, Northern California, and you know that you've heard these La Raza, meaning the race, the Aztec race, the Aztec supremacists, who say, man, this area is just too white, man. Well, again, it's called Salutrian shtick. You know, the Aztecs refer to themselves as the bronze people. I remember that Malcolm X used to refer to himself as bronze. And I thought to myself, yeah, you're bronze because you're not totally African in terms of DNA. And these people, these La Raza people that denigrate the Spanish language, the language of Europe, one of the great 26 languages of Europe, by speaking that in Spanglish, it's ridiculous. Speak in your, if you are so proud of your indigenous roots, then start learning the Aztec language. Start learning the Mayan language. Start learning the Toltec language if you're so proud of who you are. You know, I am all for the Latinos. But you see, the Latinos are part of that group, including people who call themselves Native Americans, who got here 6,000 years before the Salutrians got here. All you got to do is go on the internet and look for the film about the Salutrians that was on the Discovery Channel. They stopped producing it. What is it called? Ice Age Columbus. Well, we were here a long time before Columbus, and we were here a long time before Cochise. Sometimes people say B.C., or now they talk about C.E., the Common Era, or B.C.E., before the Common Era. Well, we Solutrians, who brought over the spear point technology and were obviously exterminated, these spear points are older than any spear points that have been found in the Americas. There are Solutrean spear points that are found back 30,000 years old in Solutre, southwestern France. Sol, as in sun. Yes, we Europeans are the original people of the sun, but we would have been here and flourished if we hadn't been exterminated. You know, I hear these people all the time talking about how white people came to North and South America with a hate on. We just hated indigenous peoples. We just came over because that's what we are, what's endemic to us is to hate, okay? Well, you know, even after the Solutreans were exterminated here, we Europeans were not a blank slate about ethnicity. I always use the word ethnic or ethnicity. I don't use the word race as a buzzword unless it's thrown back at me. But the European peoples were pushed all over Asia. The Ainu were originally European peoples that were conquered by the so-called Asians, Chinese, and pushed up into northern Japan, into the Hokkaido Islands. Buddha was a red-bearded, blue-eyed guy. My friend Ali has written a booklet based upon his research talking about the old books that the ancient writings, and he has the references to all these works. They even have a drawing of this Buddha, the Bodhidharma. Yeah, he came over to, he traveled from northern India, which thousands of years ago was as white as North Idaho is now. Came over to China, and guess what they called him? A barbarian, an invader. And he brought the philosophy and religion of Buddhism to China. But what do we see now when we see the Buddha? We see a squatty Asian guy. No. Again, that is defamation. Buddha is one of us. Buddha is us. Also, the guy that created some of the martial arts was also a white guy. And this is all according to my friend Ali. When we have talked for a number of years, I first met him at the Institute for Historical Review. He's a guy that has gotten this information out. It should be on television day and night. Okay, so why am I talking about all this? Because we need a narrative of who we are. We need our own history channel. That's what we have here. We are correcting history to reflect the ethnic truth. All of us here on Counter Currents Network, that's what we are doing. We don't get paid for this. So those of you who want to help this network, what you can do is go to the website and send an email and say, I want to contribute to the Countercurrents Network. This is how you can help this network. We are doing this, I'm doing this, and I know everybody else on this network is doing this, not only for our own well-being as indigenous European peoples, but we are trying to reach out to our brothers and sisters around the world, whether they live in Turkey or Greece or South America, or Russia or Deutschland or Sweden, Norway, Finland, Denmark, Ireland, England, Spain, Portugal, and all the rest of the indigenous peoples of Europe who are now in a diaspora living all over the world. A friend of mine informed me last week that, and I can't remember if I talked about this on the show, but last week, but that there are 100 flags in Europe representing countries and regional areas. 26 languages. We are diversity within diversity. We are diverse enough. We don't need to be any more diverse. But anyway, when I was talking at the beginning about official stories, narratives, it is the way I look at it is I was watching this show called Bait Car, and they talked about Grand Theft Auto. Well, how about Grand Theft Identity? We have had our identity stolen from us by the people that run the mainstream media. Now, I'm going to take a short break here, and I'll be back in a little bit, in just a few moments, to do the second portion of this hour on our story, the official story, and the kosher story. All right, back again for the second portion of your hour, the European American Hour, the hour for World Yuri. Welcome, anybody. You are my brother and sister, those of you around the world who are being abused and denigrated and pushed out of your indigenous areas. We need to stick together. We need independent voices that present different points of view, but all under the umbrella to help our diverse people. In the first portion of the hour, I talked about Michael Hoffman's book, Judaism Discovered, and that I just started reading this after having bought it in 2009, really getting into it. I guess I'm around 160 or 70 pages into it. But Michael Hoffman is a powerful voice in determining why we are in the state we are and what the Talmud says and how that's affected our daily life. If you type in Michael Hoffman on the internet or independent history and research, you will be able to order his book, Judaism Discovered. I know I read another of his books a long time ago about white slavery in the beginning of the colonies in America. Slavery of White Folks. Also, Judaism Strange Gods, another of his books. Support Michael Hoffman. Michael Hoffman is doing all of us a wonderful deed by looking for the truth and to being a critique. You know, Kevin MacDonald, in his book, The Culture of Critique, talks about the Judaic, the Talmudic, the kosher elite, the people with kosher kin privilege, who constantly run down our culture every day, whether in the electronic and print media. Well, we need our own critics. But we also, as well as criticizing, we have to come up with messages that resonate with our people. We need official, I'm not going to say official lines, but we need our own message, narratives, and it's not all going to be the same, but narratives like the White Rabbit talks about, narratives like Resisting Defamation talks about, in terms of diversity within diversity, the racial profiling of European peoples, that racism means anti-white. And it goes on and on and on. And also about the whole idea of the theft of our identity and who are the culprits. That is the mass media. That is the mass banking institution, the Federal Reserve, printing money in order to finance wars. It is very important for me to be able to talk about these things because I know that I have to do this in order to feel like I'm doing something. I'd like to mention Ingrid Zundel's newsletter. It's called Power, and it reflects the personal opinions of Ingrid Zundel. The latest one I got is dated October 1st, 2012, which is tomorrow. Ingrid's website is www.zundelsite.org, Zundelsite.org. I'm going to read a little bit of this from her Power newsletter that I got just a few days ago. To our friends around the world, at the beginning of September, Ernst and I managed to meet in Mexico for a little more than a week. It was like honey on my soul. I had not seen my husband for almost a year, and our get-togethers are always fraught beforehand with a fair amount of anxiety. And she talks about Ernst flying over to Mexico to meet his wife, Ingrid. Of course, Ernst is separated from his wife because of the Talmudic machinations of the German-American governments, which are influenced by the Talmudic elites. Anyway, when Ernst came back to Deutschland, to Germany, he was Ingrid says he was extensively searched for politically incorrect thoughts. So then she's talking about what they did together, relaxing and singing German songs. And she's talking about her favorite source for German writing is usually the website Altermedia. It's very outspoken. And it is a German website, and it's under cyber siege. And she wonders here in this newsgram and this powergram if it's might be that she might be at fault for this. She said recently she'd finished a brand new DVD, which she is proud of. It's called A Spartan of the Spirit, and it will be ready for those of you who are interested. I'm going to be purchasing a DVD of Ernst's life in prison. And, you know, all great men have suffered in prison. And when if they've been able to come out, they're changed people. They are people that if they haven't been beaten down, they can literally become very strong in how they influence other people. So anyway, this video is about, as Ingrid says, she thought it was mild yet riveting. It tells about Ernst's prison experience and how his more than 3,000 original sketches were given artistic birth under the most harrowing, inhuman conditions. Ingrid says, I think it's my best video yet because I'm learning to master the difficult software. It is a very important historical video with its text and voiceovers taken from various prison letters Ernst wrote in incarceration. Then she talks about how she got it up on YouTube, maybe a sampler of this film, but it only gathered 200 plus viewers. But then she put it on this German language website called Alter Media. She said it shot up like a rocket to 1,000 more hits in only a few hours. Down came the censorship cudgel. Verboten. And then she says Alter Media struggled ever since to reappear in cyberspace. She also said that a previous DVD that she had sent to Ernst was held in investigative custody. That's right. That's what Customs called it. For a few months and then released to the intended recipients, I guess, in Germany without future problems. Now, Ingrid writes in here, she's been reading H.L. Mencken. Mencken's The Philosophy of Friedrich Nietzsche. And quote, it says from the book, a philosophy, when it offers a practical solution to pressing problems or a comprehensible interpretation of contemporary phenomena, when that philosophy begins to saturate the air and so influences everyone, including even those who have never heard it directly, that is, end quote. So let me read that again. A philosophy, when it offers a practical solution to pressing problems or a comprehensible interpretation of contemporary phenomena, begins to saturate the air and so influences everyone, including even those who have never heard it directly. And Ingrid says, that is what's happening today. That is why it is so important for this countercurrents network to thrive. And again, folks, if you're a supporter, please donate. Go to the website and find an email of Matt Parrott or Greg Johnson and say, how do I send you some money? Because we need to survive. I look forward to these broadcasts because I think it's so important for my own psyche, for my own spiritual condition, for my own health, to be able to give you information, give you insights, my own insights. And everyone here at this network has different insights because we live in different areas of the country. We have had different upbringings. Again, folks, the diversity within diversity. Now, I'm going to read something. And so, again, folks, it gets back to these our stories, official stories, and the kosher stories. And again, official stories and kosher stories are the same. But as we well know, and I like to use this little punchline, it's like a cheer from the stands. Zionism to the left, Zionism to the right, stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight. That's actually what we have. This, folks, is our radio. If you see people that are trying to help white folks and they have a video, which you think is very important, please circulate it to your list. We need to replicate what the mainstream kosher media worldwide is doing. We need to state our own case in unequivocal, straightforward, and as Nietzsche says, a practical solution to pressing problems, or a comprehensible interpretation of contemporary phenomena. Let's saturate the media with these forms of communication. Practical and comprehensible. It has to be in a form where people can hear it. Okay, folks, from the Zundel site, from the www.zundelsite.org, the power newsletter of Ingrid Zundel, her opinions, personal opinions, she quotes from a widely read internet writer who she says she will not mention his name. His name will be anonymous. Here are some pieces from his from this writer's postings. Quote, since it is no longer possible for Jewish people or the Jewish elite to deny that they were disproportionately involved in communism, their latest apologetics technique is to claim that the revolutionaries were, quote, unquote, non-Jewish Jews who had repudiated the traditions of their forefathers. Thus, the Jewish people involved in communism are not responsible for the sins of their renegades, or, again, for the larger Jewish community. Again, another quote from this anonymous writer. This is rather an amusing argument for a tribe that wants collective guilt for everyone else. Suppose, for example, that the Germans denied responsibility for the renegade Adolf Hitler. Again, this is from this anonymous writer. Another quote. The Jewish people sang the praises of the USSR from 1917 until 1945. It was not just because the Bolshevik Revolution freed them from the wicked Tsar. They continued to praise communism long after its horrors became known. Another posting. The Jewish people, as usual, in such cases, went overboard in their praise of the USSR. They praised it as the product of Jewish brains and discontent. They claimed that only Jewish cunning and spirit of revenge could have made it possible. Another quote, another postings. Prominent Jewish spokesmen proclaimed that the ideals of communism and the ideals of Judaism were one and the same. Other Jews equated the socialism of Marx with the socialism of the Old Testament. Here's another one. Soviet Russia in the balmy days between the world wars was the land where there was no anti-Semitism. Any Jew could get ahead over the dead bodies of murdered Gentiles. Jews overflowed with enthusiasm for communism and the liberal political journals of the 1930s. Jewish-owned newspapers like the New York Times thought that reports of 7 to 10 million starved to death in Ukraine were basically Soviet propaganda. Non-Jewish Jews published over a dozen newspapers in Yiddish glorifying communism, read by enthusiastic New York, Buenos Aires, and Moscow audience. All this was done by non-Jewish Jews all over the world before they discovered that the same communism that they had glorified for decades was incompatible with Jewish ethical principles. Again, another quote from this writer, this anonymous writer. Jewish elites changed the party line on verifiable historical facts faster than they moved gas chambers from Germany to Poland. The prostitutes of the media like to compare Holocaust deniers to Walter Duranty, the New York Times star reporter who covered up the Ukrainian famine in which 7 to 10 million people perished, but the comparison is invalid for many reasons. First, the Ukrainian famine occurred through a simple, provable method of execution, mass starvation. So, I'm going to go on for a couple of more minutes here before the third part of the program. Walter Duranty, who lied on behalf of Jewish Communist Russia, was amply rewarded by the New York Times and the Western Jewish-controlled press. He was handsomely paid and made world famous as a so-called expert on communism. His name was renowned for decades. Holocaust deniers who expose the lie of the gas chambers and the myth of the murder 6 million are not rewarded. Their researches are kept out of the media. Their careers and livelihoods are deliberately destroyed. They are subjected to legal persecutions and in many cases sentenced to jail terms. They are loathed by the same powers that glorified Walter Duranty. Okay. So I am going to end that part of the reading from Ingrid Zundel. There is another one here that I'll briefly talk about. I would say I'll talk about most of this in the third hour, but it's written by Gordon Duff, quoted in Ingrid's Power newsletter. And it's entitled, The American Mossad, Rule by Deception. Okay, I'll start the beginning of this. Few understand the real crime of deception. And I'll stop right there, and then I'll begin again in a few moments for the third portion of this program about official stories, our stories, and the kosher stories. Okay, continuing with this reprinted piece that's in Ingrid's Power newsletter from Gordon Duff, The American Mossad, Ruled by Deception. Few understand the real crime of deception. Deception can be simple betrayal or can be contrived to drive you to murder your friends or defend monsters. Military deception is called psyops, or psychological operations, and is frankly tasked specifically with creating wrong beliefs to rob leaders or entire populations of their judgment. A successful psyops operation can be more powerful than any attack. Without firing a shot, you can seem to be defeated, be fooled into misjudging enemies and allies, or be set on the path of destroying yourself. If you are a nation, You are constantly under attack from psychological operations. If you are a nation, it is a prime responsibility to defend your people from psyops attacks designed to undermine faith in institutions, to foster dissent and exploit fear or create anger and feelings of being cheated. Today's worldview, from the economic to the racial and religious to social, political, and military, is all hopelessly infected with calculated disinformation created in order to realign society based upon belief in falsehood, so as to enfeeble and enslave, to drive the civil and good to acts of bestiality through exploiting the genetic weakness Darwinists tell us is bred into man's character, our reptilian mind. Deception is the basis, and this is very important, folks, extremely important. Deception is the basis of any military education, the basis of business practices, the basis of diplomacy, the underlying basis of the world's currencies and economic systems, and more than ever, how civilization, with 5,000 years of learning and advancement, can justify unbridled killing of the innocent or collateral as justifiable for a common good none ever understand or agree to. Then this talked about the Duff talks about the situation in like what I like to refer to as Southwest Asia rather than the Middle East. Middle as in the as they are important over there. I like to look at Asia as everything from the eastern banks of the Mediterranean to the Pacific Ocean as being Asia. Anyway, it's my thing. The nature, and again, going back to Duff, Gordon Duff, picking up with some more of his information, the nature of combined Israeli-American psychological operations is designed to change directions in seconds. If a setback occurs in Syria, they then turn on Gaza or Lebanon. Then there's always Iran and its imaginary nuclear arsenal, impossible to find, proof of Iran's wondrous ability to misplace that which does not exist. This is one of the tenets of psychological operations. When you can't find something, it simply means it is cleverly hidden, perhaps in another nation that might be even more convenient to attack. So he goes on and talks about the, Gordon Duff does, talks about another essay about Netanyahu's clownish threats against Iran and every other country surrounding Israel. But I'm not going to read. I'm not going to read into that essay. But for those of you who been following the latest about this film, which is supposed to enrage and has enraged Muslim people around the world, Dr. Kevin Barrett on Press TV has written an article. Talking about that situation, how Netanyahu is fanning the flames and the connection between Netanyahu and 9/11 and Netanyahu and this film by this guy, so-called Terry Jones. So anyway, again, folks, this is news for our people. Ingrid has sell some books from her site, also DVDs, some David Irving DVDs, and some DVDs on Ernst Zundel's life. And so anyway, I think it's important to stay informed. And also, again, like I've mentioned, it is important for all of you out here, and I mentioned this on another network that I was on, and I will repeat it again about you are all correspondents of mine. We are all equals. Some people remain anonymous. If you do want to remain anonymous, send the network, Countercurrents Network, Radio Network, some money, you know. Write a check, you know, because we're out here, we are the investigative journalists. We are the new culture of critique, which is critiquing the state of the world, but only in the interest to determine what the opposition is doing to us and explain it to our people, our peoples around the world, and also to come up with solutions. I've mentioned this before, that we need to create institutions. Countercurrents Radio Network is an institution. There are books that you can buy off of this network as well, off of this website. So again, folks, take advantage of it. Support the people that are contributing to the welfare, the general welfare of our people around the world. I also like to use the, and I've mentioned this I don't know how many times on broadcasts, about using PC to transform PC. And again, I've mentioned racial profiling, especially the racial profiling of blonde women who are referred to by the Jewish elites as bimbos. I think it's immensely important to realize the stuff that's going on to our women, especially the blonde women, who seem to be on a quest to try to undo what they perceive as what white folks have done to everybody else by either having children with other people in order to create a very crass political strike for what they think is reality and tolerance. But at the same time, many of them are victims. There was a story that a correspondent sent me recently over in the lower Manhattan, where a blonde-haired gal was enamored with this black guy who ended up almost decapitating her, but bludgeoning her to death, killing her. And her friends said beforehand they knew this guy was a monster, but she went ahead anyway. Of course, this is what the media has done, is to elevate black folks to a place, especially the black male, as being this heroic, swashbuckling character. And again, what happened to this woman who was butchered because of the fact that there was not a media out there like we have that can be seen over that television set that everybody or most people, most of us have in our living rooms. If we had Countercurrents on the TV, if Kevin McDonald was on the TV every day, if we had our ethnic commentators on TV 24/7, if we had a European American and a World Yuri entertainment network, Yes, indeed, folks, with sponsors from Dodge trucks to aspirin to every other product imaginable that you see advertised on the air, then people would think, oh, it must be safe to be a white guy or a white woman and to feel proud of your heritage, because the same people that I bought my car from are sponsoring this program. Well, we don't have that, of course. But at the same time, it's important, at least for me, to point this out. What if we had these kind of networks? But institutions start small. That's what we have. That's what you're listening to right now. This is an internet radio institution. When somebody sends you an email from somebody who is not PC, who's attacking how white folks are being preyed upon, this is an institution. When you go have coffee with a neighbor who you are talking to about issues of the day, that is a culture. That is the beginnings of something that can turn into an institution. Even if it's a neighborhood gathering of people, a barbecue. In about a month, we're going to have snow up here, okay? And when that happens, actually about 6 weeks when we'll probably start getting some significant snowfall, I go out on my street and because I'm retired, I go out and plow the driveways as much as I have energy for. Some of my neighbors plow the street, plow the sidewalks. Why? Because it keeps me healthy. That's the other thing, folks, that we can do as people that are looked up to in our community. There are some people, not all of them, but some people that see me when I do things for my health or I'm doing things for my neighbor. They look at that and, like I said, some of them, and they say, well, he may disagree with me on this or that question, but, you know, he's a pretty good guy. I want to encourage all of you, men and women out there, to help other white folks. I do this constantly. Every once in a while, and I can't do that now, but I can do it every once in a while to people I've known for a long time, or do it for them. A gal I know in Colorado, she was having trouble. She was so broke, she couldn't, if I hadn't sent her some money, she couldn't have been able to go to work because she didn't have any gas money, even though she had a job. I sent her some money. Why? Because she's an activist. She stuck her neck out. There's a gal up here that's very poor, and there was an event, social event, she couldn't go. It was a cruise. I paid for her ticket to go on this cruise. Why? Because I like to help white people. And I just think that we all can do this kind of thing. Be good to ourselves by eating right. Be good to ourselves by contributing, whether if you find an article on the internet, you know, send it to me. eamerica123@roadrunner.com. Send me an article. I send people articles all the time. And people send me articles, and it goes around, folks. It goes around. You'd be surprised, these wonderful articles that are vital to the interests of our people, they can make our people's day. Also, the other thing, folks, is if you want to really help somebody else, listen. I went to Oktoberfest yesterday in this area, to an Oktoberfest celebration. And I started talking to this police officer that used to work in central L.A. and then eventually worked for another police agency in Northern California. And we were talking about what had happened to California and why we were up here. And as I told him, I said, I didn't come up here to hunt and fish. I don't like to hunt and fish. I came up here to be around other white people. I came here so that I wouldn't be in an ethnic minority. Of course, a lot of the people up here, they came for the same reason. But you see, they don't want to step out of line. They do not want to be honest. They want to act as if nothing happened in California in the last 30, 40 years. Well, we know a lot of things happen. The whites are a minority there, less than 50%, just like whites are less than 50% of the population in Texas and Florida. We all know that, but nobody wants to talk about it. But it is important to reach out to people. I had a good time. There was some German, there was a German Oompa band, and it was very important. I want to mention something about libertarianism. A friend of mine down in California refers to libertarians as white boys fleeing from their whiteness. I know a lot of instances of that. Anyway, using PC against PC, coming up with official narratives, stories, our own memes or cool ideas, you know, partnering. How about ethnic partnering? Transparency. How about ethnic transparency in the world, where white people are viewed in an objective light? And again, the race card that's played over and over again. Anyway, folks, that's all for today. And I enjoyed it. And keep listening to the network, the Countercurrents Network. And if you have a chance, you know, write out a check and send it to the network so that we can all keep this operation, this institution going. Take care, folks.